Good morning. Can you hear me okay? This is not my swim lane, so bear with me, right? One of the things that we always were taught when we were being instructed about how to talk to the audience, right, was make eye contact and know your audience. So I feel really relaxed because I know so many of you. Being here since 2009, it feels like family. So although I'm nervous, I'm not really that nervous. It's not my favorite thing to do, but I was excited, and I've been thinking about this for well over 6 weeks. So, welcome. I'm looking at the clock, and I don't do this always, because I'm not a clock person, but we're going to get into a concept about time this morning. Biblical time, not just modern day time. So you see the two words on the screen. We're going to get into that a little bit, and they're purposely done this way. But I would like to open us up in prayer as we begin the morning. Oh Lord, as we've gathered together to read your word and affirm our faith with each other, may we remember how you prayed for your disciples by saying, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Amen. I love that last song. You guys did a pretty good job. I put the worship team on notice this week because about 4 weeks ago, I wrote a little email to Pastor Ted and say, "Will you do me a favor, because I'm going to talk about this subject and I want to do a flashback Sunday." Now, he didn't oblige me with all the tunes I came up with, right? He sprinkled one of his in there because I went back and purposely looked at copyright dates, and we weren't going to sing anything before 2002. All right, so you did a really good job this morning, right? Praise the King, Cindy Morgan, turn of the century kind of number. That takes me back because my beautiful wife, that was one of her songs she wanted sung at her wedding 23 years ago. So it's special to me. You kind of rocked through it a little bit. You got the chorus right about the third time through, right? Could you hear it? You could hear the resonance a little bit in the room. That was perfect. No, that gave me a recall, and we're going to talk a lot about the impact of time on our lives, both in the context of modern day definition as well as biblical definition. So, Abe, if you would, oblige me and roll a video. So how many caught all of those? Right? How many caught none of them? Right? Part of knowing your audience, who's below the age of 35? Okay. You're going to be lost for part of the morning. Okay. Talk to your parents or your grandparents, because some of the references are so old. Right? I'm about to start my 61st trip around the sun. Did you get that? Okay, think about it for a second. So some of my references are going to show, some would say wisdom or experience. I would say I've been here long enough to know better. And this is one of them. So what I'd like to do is, where's Julie Gleason? Awesome. Come on up and join me for a minute or so. I've got some questions for you. Julie's one of the people in the congregation that love some of the things I love to do. One is garden. So I got some questions for you, Julie. Come on over here for a second. I'm going to give you a mic so they can hear you. Come on over here. So would you say this fine bouquet is representative of the right time to cut those flowers?
No. It's a little past.
A little past. Yep. Okay. All right. And for those in the audience, right, we have people online. We're giving you kind of a screenshot. This happens to be a certain kind of dried flower this time of year. Have no fear. We already had people comment on this. You think this is a well-tended tray of seedlings?
Absolutely not. Oh, it's okay. Looking a little brown and sick.
Yeah. What about this one right here?
Those are looking stressed out.
Okay. Yep. All right. Okay. Let's move over here. There's hope yet. What about this one?
Much better.
Okay,
yes.
So this is from the same batch of seedlings. Back in March, I planted all of these. Do you happen to know what these are without looking at the labels? I'll cover the labels up.
Poppies.
You got it. See, okay. I picked the right volunteer, right? She got it right, didn't she, Deanna? Right? All right, so these are all from the same seeding. I started those in that dead-looking tray back in March, and I didn't really pick the right time to pot them up, did I?
No, sir.
Okay. What about that second tray? Did I do okay with that one?
No.
I didn't.
No,
did
no,
I?
No.
No, no. Even these, right? You gardeners out there, right? I potted these up. Let's see what it says. July 6th. Now, that's way too late. But see, I knew I was going to do this talk, so I purposely ignored these plants in various states. In fact, those kind of got cooked in the greenhouse, but I wanted them almost to be dead for demonstration purposes. How about this one? Did I do this okay?
Beautiful.
Okay, I picked these this morning, right? So for those of you that know anything about flowers, I do this almost every morning. I go out and look at my garden, and I thought, I need something representative of ripeness or the right time, right?
It's beautiful.
How about this?
Well, one's early, but the others look good.
I wouldn't eat that one, would you?
No.
That's green.
Let's
you want to try
better.
This one? Go
sure.
ahead. Go.
Perfect.
Okay. All right. Good. Good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And here, this is for you.
Well, thank you. My favorite.
So here's what that plant should really have looked like. Okay. So that's back in May. That's the right time for oriental poppies to give their show, right? By this time, they don't look so good. But I already had somebody walk up to me and say, Ed, can I have these? Now, why would they say that? I almost heard it. Save the seeds, right? So ripeness of time can mean different things at different points in time, right? If you wanted to see the poppy bloom, you would have had to look at it in May. If you actually wanted to collect the seeds, you'd cut them maybe a week ago. They were still on the south bed. So I had plenty of time to gather the seeds that I was interested in. So the theme for this morning is looking for moments, not just living by minutes. I call it a primer to the two Greek words used by the ancients for what we commonly use today as time, kairos and chronos. I say it as a primer because I don't think that I can do it justice in the time that I'm allotted, so I will rely on you to follow up because it's a very interesting subject all on its own. We don't think about it much because most of us are pretty well engrossed in chronos, and I'll make that point throughout my talk, right? So time, references abound. We learned them when we were little kids. I had to try to cover a number of bases just to give you some ideas. I didn't get them all because you could spend all morning talking about everything that we have that relies on time as maybe the basis for measurement or quantification, right? Physics. Any of you engineers out there? IR1, right? So we learned this a while ago. You get this in physics right away, right? Time is distance divided by speed. There are fancier formulas. You can get into calculus. Kenny's in the house, so Kenny would know about the value of time as it is applied to currency or money, right? So we have present value times a bunch of gobbledygook, and you'll see that little T in the exponential portion of the formula, right? So it's important you save your money, and this compound interest formula kicks in. and it defines what you have now and what it could potentially be at a future state. Medicine is heart rate, beats per minute. It's interesting, we do the same thing with music, right? The tempo of the music is beats per minute, BPM. Not by accident, I think it's almost on purpose. We resonate with certain kinds of songs that may actually align with our mood or our heart rate. Competitions. You saw the checkered flag, right? You knew what that was all about. Riemann didn't hardly hesitate. It almost made his blood pressure go up when he saw that checkered flag. Talk to Dick later about racing. And probably others would say the same thing, right? Elapsed time is end time minus start time. We get a duration calculation that quantifies how fast we could do things. Photography, we saw it in both instances. Time-lapse photography, when things are too slow, we like to speed them up, right? Because it may take hours or days for something to actually happen. So we've exploited that with our ability to record long durations of time and then accelerate it. The opposite is true as well. We have slow motion. So if things happen too fast, we can slow the activity down, especially in sports, right? We got instant replay everywhere. We slow them down so that we can actually analyze what's happening, even though we might not be able to accurately receive it in terms of our vision. We have 24 time zones. Did you know we had that many? There are 24 designations. Christmas Island is the first time zone on the planet, and it gets to experience the day first. It's in the Pacific. And for those of you nerds out there, we have computer time, clock time, a measurement of central processing unit capability. We've had these so long, some of you have maybe forgotten that they even were invented or referenced. Time is also used in culinary arts, right? But it's not just a measurement. The average recipe would have you keep track of time. But even within that context of preparing food, it's a versatile and essential ingredient, because we have all these other things that come along with it, right? Everything in its place. That's French. I'll hammer it. Mise en place. Right? So you prep everything so you optimize the amount of time it takes to prepare food. And then if you're baking bread, we have rising time. If you're cooking something in any number of ways, there's an appropriate cooking time depending on your technique. And then, of course, if you're cooking meat, everybody knows or should know that you don't immediately cut into a roast after you're done. You set the roast aside so that it has time to come down in temperature. And, of course, for example, if I asked you how much time does it take to boil an egg, what would you say? How would you want the egg cooked, right? Lisa was helping me out in the front row. See, the front row people are great, right? You can just hear them the right amount. So, of course, hard-boiled or soft-boiled? There isn't one answer. And, of course, for all you sports nuts, I had to modify this definition that I cooked up a little bit, right? Because time plays an important role, not only in, I would have said, informing the rules of the game. But now we've modified most sports so much to maintain the spectator's attention, right? So we have a whole bunch of subdivisions of time, or the way we manage sporting events, and I just named a few, right? You got the play clock for a single play, and you've got the pitch clock now in baseball, because we didn't like baseball 10 years ago because it took too long, right? And they're changing pitchers, and the pitcher would step off the mound, and the batter would step off out of the box, and then we'd finally get a ball across the plate, and you go, man, this is taking forever. So they instituted the pitch clock. We got the shot clock in basketball now, and we've got all sorts of timeouts in construct to make sure the advertisers get their piece of the event, right? Because everything's televised now, so we got to include all of those interruptions. And then you get to my favorite, which is music. Now, that's why I asked you, you know, how old you are, Because some of these references, you're going to have to go, like, do a research project to figure out, why did he include that? And mostly because I was interested in the lyrics, not just the tune. Okay? So some of these are really old. They're all from the last, I hate to say this, century. So nothing is 2000 plus. Okay, so for all of you pop music fans, I'm using the definition as I like to use it, because pop music is popular for only a period of time. So the longer you live on the planet, the more you could say, well, I used to listen to pop music. So let's turn back and take a look at some of these. Here's the oldest one I got. Okay, now, some would say Leonard Bernstein was a genius for his time in terms of lyrics and melody. His primary occupation was writing musical scores and songs. Now, my son, I let him listen to this, and he goes, what are you doing? This melody is haunting, asymmetric, and I don't get it. I said, well, just wait. I'll find a version you'll like. So my recommendation on this one, it's an old Bernstein tune out of a musical, On the Town. It was released in 44. Go find Barbra Streisand's version of this song. Okay? Then you'll understand why I chose it, because 24 hours can go so fast, you look around and the day has passed. Of course, it's got a rhyme, because most of the music and lyrics in the popular sector usually rhyme. Let's jump ahead. Buddy Holly came out, Take Your Time, I Can Wait. Anybody recognize that song? You don't have to raise your hand, because Buddy's been gone for a long time, right? They even had a song about the plane crash, The Day the Music Died. Right? I didn't put that one on there. Dylan talked about it in commentary terms for the times they are changing in the mid-60s. We had Ain't Got Nothing But Love, Babe, 8 days a week by the Beatles. So they thought love was so important they put another day in the week, right? To try to explain to us what undying love is like. Then we had an interesting one. I'm very conscious of the congregation's sensitivity to this particular verse in the Bible as well as the song, but the birds came out as part of the British invasion, and they set Ecclesiastes 3 to music, right? It's called Turn, 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 and one of the phrases in the lyrics was, and a time to every purpose under heaven. That's straight from the Bible, but I'm not standing on that verse today, so don't sweat. Okay, we're not going to go there. But I'm going to stop here for a second, because Croce came out in 72 and said, I think I've got the super, super way to find love. And I'm going to have a superhuman way to capture it. So he came out in 72 with this song, If I Could Save Time in a Bottle. And the first verse goes, if I could save time in a bottle, the first thing I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away, just to spend them with you. Now, isn't that sentimental? But it would require superhuman capability, right? Time in a bottle, and I could capture time and keep it still. Then we have Stevie Miller in 76, tried to figure out how to connect present time with future time, and they came out with, it's slipping, slipping, slipping into the future. And then Manilow, of course, the crooner of the 70s and 80s, right? I'm nothing without you and love. So all the time I thought there was only me. Boy, is that self-centered. Alan Parsons in 80 said, time, it's flowing like a river. Now we're getting more current. So some of you that have done a little bit of 80s downloading and you got your digital collection, I'm getting closer, but you probably won't like these. They might not even be there. I had to put something in that was personally my own, and that's related to the beginning of my senior year. You can do your own math. Styx came out with Best of Times, right? And they convinced all the graduating classes of 81, 82 that that point in time was as good as it was going to get. But then, of course, Billy Joel came out 5 years later and tried to reconvince me, because now I'm graduating from college, No. This is the time to remember. The good news is, that's the end of the references. Okay? Because I'm trying to pay attention to the clock, even though it's not really my nature. So we must move on. So what do all these references have in common, right? We've gone through all of those references, physics, cooking, sports, music. The Greeks would say the answer is they're referring to both chronos and kairos, right? Time in the ancient world was not just one word. It was two words. And it had very interesting meanings depending on which word was used in context. In terms of the Old Testament, I'm using King James translation as my basis for the quantifying how many times the word time is used. 607 occur in singular form, and 820 times the phrase at that time is used. So let's look at one. All the way back to Genesis 8:22. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. For the ancients, it was very common for them to use agricultural terms. That's what resonated during their day. There was seed time and harvest time. There was day and night. They still had dog days of summer, I suppose, just like ours, right? It's brutally hot out there right now. That's why these plants don't do so well. These don't belong in the greenhouse. They belong in the ground. But I kept them alive just for the purposes of illustration. So let's look at another one. New Testament references, 358 times in the New Testament does the word time is used both in singular and plural forms. Now remember, we're talking about both. So you have to go into the ancient language to figure out what's the context. Is it chronos or is it kairos? We don't really know sometimes when we're reading because you won't stop long enough to understand the context or do the research regarding which definition is being used. But let's go ahead and look. Again, Matthew 2. So this is a really easy example to follow, right? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem and in Judea during the time of King Herod. Right? That's a point in time. It's a historical context that's being used. So we will almost glance over this and go, yeah, okay, I saw the word time. It doesn't mean a lot to me. Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? So here we are. We've got chronos. It's the Greek word for time, but in context, it means measured, ticking, quantitative time. We can count it. It's where we get the English words chronological and chronicle. But with all of these references continuing to be part of our life, is it any wonder mankind continues to be driven by the clock? Now, this constant reminder is disproportionate because clock time starts and ends our day. It's so a part of the human existence. And we've measured it since the seasons were linked to phases of the moon and locations of the stars. Instruments have changed from... I had to use the sundial, I'm sorry. It's the oldest thing that I could find in terms of an instrument that would measure time of day. How many of you even have a sundial in your garden? Anybody? Jim's got one. I mean, it's such an old device, we kind of use it for a novelty. We're not really going to go out there and go, what does the sundial say? And calendars have moved from stone tablets, you know, chiseling hash marks, counting days, to cell phones that now remind us not only the day, but how many steps we've taken. But this constant reminder of passing minutes can drive a person into a state of worry. And that's counter to many of the things we read in our great book of wisdom and guidance from God. and it blinds the person's ability to allow the Holy Spirit to guide their daily path because they are so focused on the ticking clock. But wait, let's not give up yet. What about a passage like Ecclesiastes 3, 10 and 11? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He also has set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So I had to squeeze another reference in here. So as Simon and Garfunkel once wrote, slow down, you move too fast. So we're going to stand on 10 and 11 for just a moment or two so we can take a look at the individual pieces. A includes, he has made everything beautiful in its time. This is the description of God's design in the natural order of things created according to his timing. This is not Kronos. This is Kairos. Now, the author then jumps and says he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. Trying to quantify a deep innate longing within humans for something beyond the here and now, temporal and measurable. Because which one of us would be able to measure eternity? We have a concept, and yet we don't have a measurement unit to assign to it. And finally, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Again, this highlights the limitations of humans' understanding in comprehending God's plan and work in its entirety. Now let's look at the other form, Kairos. It's my favorite. I use it as an excuse all the time. And my wife has to remind me, there is this other thing called the clock, and you have to pay attention because you don't want to be rude to other people. So in order to relate to other people and meet with other people, we have to at least agree on a point in time where we're going to get together, right? Just like this morning. We started at 10 o'clock, not 10:30. I mean, you could start at 10:30 and mosey on in here, but it would have been in the middle of Jim's talk, and you go, what just happened? I missed some of it. Right? Yeah, but it's when I thought I could start. So we have to have some chronos in our lives to coordinate efforts, right? But Kairos is also important. It talks about the opportune time. It's qualitative and yet permanent. I want to go back to all those songs, right? They're trying to quantify time flows like a river. We do all these things to try to measure it, but it expires after every unit we've defined for it, right? Years expire, weeks expire, seconds expire. We talk about past, present, and future. It's constantly moving. That's why Kairos takes on a more permanent characterization of time than Kronos. That's where we get our English phrases like moments of time, turning point, well-timed, ripeness of time, God's timing. They're all related to this ancient concept. I tried and tried. This is the best I could do to come up with the paradox that describes them both. Hippocrates, one of the ancient philosophers, he's also credited with the Hippocratic Oath. You know, that's the oath medical profession uses, do no harm. Here's the way he talked about the two concepts. Every Kairos is a Kronos, but not every Kronos is a Kairos. Both are built into every person. The heartbeat is like Kronos, Yet the times for opportunity are yearned for by all people during most of the seasons of their life. That's Kairos. And for all of you that have been around the sun more than 60 times, I just joined your club last year. As death draws closer to those blessed with a long life, the yearning for Kairos-driven moments becomes clearer, more in our focus. It's less about the tick, 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 and more about the when's the next moment of richness. Let's jump to our next reference. All right, so this comes again out of Ecclesiastes 9:12. Moreover, no man knows when his hour will come, as fish are caught in a cruel net or birds taken in a snare. So men are trapped by evil times that fall unexpectedly on them. And Solomon in this context provides us the reminder that although man has developed ways of counting his days, it helps us not. As the duration of each life remains unknown, even though we may strive to calculate the final second we breathe. And yet for the believer, time stretches into eternity beyond the limits of Kronos. So which form describes your tendencies? I'm waiting. Kronos or I'm waiting again. Oh, queued it up. Or Kairos. Now, we've spent some time together, and I'm looking at the clock and going, okay, wrap it up, Ed, it's time. Do these concepts of time assist a believer in understanding that Kairos is when the believer yields to the prompting of the Holy Spirit? Choices that present themselves throughout the daily life of a believer can easily be ignored. For the sake of staying on time, on schedule. But for certainly by sensing Kronos alone, one can only respond to things of the physical world. Not the spiritual prompting, not the guidance by the Holy Spirit. You said, oh, that's all well and good, Ed. You just quoted a bunch of stuff from the Old Testament. Bring me into current New Testament context. I said, okay, we can do that. So what did Jesus have to say about time? I cherry-picked. Of course, I had a theme, so I only chose one passage. Cheryl, maybe someday you can write us a couple Bible studies on the concept that I've just introduced this morning, right? Because it is rich. With all those references, you could go all over the place, right? But I chose two. So Matthew 6, 25 and 27 read something like this. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. 27 follows it up with, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And then we have 33 and 4 that follows up that notion about worry, and it reads, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, I'm not saying you can't plan, so for all you planners, keep planning. We need you. Because those of us that are Kairos, we just wake up and flow with whatever happens. And maybe we wouldn't accomplish some of the earthly goals that God has laid upon our hearts if we didn't have somebody to push us. Now, what about Jesus' instruction and how it echoes some of the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs. So if I read Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and knit these together, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. I would propose to you that part of our understanding is our obsession with chronos. Chronological order is easy to count. It's easy to manage. It's easy to sense in either the context of leisure activities or the day-to-day existence. But here again, we are given wisdom that says, lean not on your own understanding. May I editorialize and say, on just your own timing. So to wrap this up, I have a few reflections for you. They're on the back of your handout if you've been following along. I think I got all the blanks filled out. So let's talk about this or introduce these questions that are certainly meant for you to reflect far beyond our time together. So, one, are you overscheduling yourself or your family? That's chronos all the way. It's clock or calendar driven. And yet, how are you using God's gift of each new day? It's still chronos because we're talking about a day, an opportunity, a 24-hour period. But I would subtract sleep time, so you really don't have 24 hours. Are you dismissing God's gift of kairos, or the prompting of the Holy Spirit, the richness of time? In your prayer life, are you being nudged? And do you give yourself permission to slow down, ignore the clock, and commune with the Lord? Some of us might even err on the side of, well, I've got 20 minutes to pray this morning. What did I hear you just say? How about, I have time to commune with my Creator, and I will use it until prompted to be finished. So accepting the kairos moments, if you're hearing these references for the first time, that's chronos, and feel today is the perfect time to lay your burdens down, that's the richness of time, kairos, then move forward. Don't wait and accept Jesus as your Savior. If you feel so, contact one of the pastors or the office. They would love to talk to you and join the family of believers who are struggling day to day to balance both these concepts, because nobody is perfect, but you should at least acknowledge the existence of the second. Or do you know someone searching for the truth? Yield to the Holy Spirit's prompting and talk to them about your faith. Pray with them. Don't let that kairos moment escape. I would ask the band to come forward. Again, my thesis for this morning is looking for moments, not just living by minutes. Let us pray. O Lord, may we yield to the Holy Spirit and better understand these ancient concepts that you have provided throughout the Bible. May we develop ways to slow down and listen for your prompting and not just be driven by modern day schedules. In your precious name, I pray. Amen.